Intro.
The intro music slowly starts.
I used to do drugs.
Oh yeah, we have a show.
And I still do. Yeah, we have a show. But I used to too. It's just random nonsense babbling.
Your mother.
Welcome to the Relative Rewind Podcast.
Oh, why, hello, everybody. I happened to run into my cousin Kevin over here down at the Kleenex store, and I decided that, oh, hey, we should watch the next 5 episodes of Dragon Ball Super and continue that podcast that we do called Relative Rewind.
So here we are
on an episode of that show, the Relative Rewind Podcast, with you, our beloved listeners.
Otherwise, we're just two crazy people talking.
I mean, isn't that what all of podcasting is, basically?
Yeah, and that's actually the big joy of it, is you can be as crazy as you want. It's like, oh, what was that guy's name from Good Morning Vietnam?
Robin Williams?
No, well, that too. Adrian Cronauer?
I haven't seen Good Morning Vietnam. Oh. I know I need to.
Yes, you really do. Yeah, that's the guy he plays as Adrian Cronauer. If that guy was alive for podcasting, he would have such a blast. So anyway, back to our show. We introduced ourselves at some point.
Yeah, I'm Cameron, and you're...
Highly unaware at sometimes. I'm Kevin.
That's your name.
And yeah, that's it. And we're covering, 5 episodes in our latest
episode. And we're related somehow.
Somehow. We're not quite sure, but we know we can't marry each other. Well, I guess...
I live in Kentucky. Never say never.
Yeah, this is true. Never.
Or if you're Sean Connery, never say never again, which is just a remake of Thunderball with him 20 years older.
Just remember, it's never too late. I can't do that. I can't do Sean Connery.
Haven't you seen like the interview that he did in like, I think it was like the 80s or whatever, and it could have even been the 70s where he said, sometimes you just gotta smack a woman across the face. It's like, wow, you really hold all of your terrible beliefs on your sleeve, don't you, Mr. Connery?
Now I'm going to find that sound clip. I'm going to work it in somewhere. Just the most inappropriate. I'm going to make it my ringtone and just walk around Walmart calling myself.
Wait, so you're going to get two cell phones, or you're somehow going to just have your ringer constantly on?
No, I can have my ringer on my phone and then hit find my phone on my watch. And he'll just constantly say that I want to hit women. Or sometimes it's okay to smack a woman across the face. Sometimes they need it.
I feel like that's endorsing something that we shouldn't endorse.
No. That's a horrible idea. Don't endorse anything. Just don't. Well, unless you're being paid to. Something you'll never hear is brought to you by child abuse. Never gonna hear that. Well, I guess you just
I guess maybe someone who's child abusing someone could work it in like an ad pivot of just like, all right, Timmy, you know, I'm going to take a break from using you as my ashtray to bring you a message from our sponsors at Child Abuse and Philip Morris, making the cigarette industry try to seem okay.
Whoa.
Since the 1940s. Here's Fred Flintstone to tell us a bit about Winston cigarettes. You know, Bonnie, it's great to smoke a good old Winston cigarette.
Do they even still make Winstons?
I think so.
They haven't been popular since the 90s when they backed out of sponsoring NASCAR, because it was the Winston Cup back in the day.
Oh, really? I just remember there was those vintage Flintstones Winston cigarette commercials.
I'm going to have to look into that.
I'll send it to you. It was like on a children's anime.
Take a Flintstone vitamin every time you take a puff of a Flintstone cigarette. Brought to you by Winston.
Hey, Bonnie. I know we're both straight and we're married, but let's name our new cereal Fruity Pebbles. No one will get the wrong idea.
Oh, well.
I feel like they didn't start with Fruity Pebbles. They started with, like, Pebbles and then Fruity Pebbles because they wanted the chocolate and then they went with the fruit flavor.
Just trying to outdo Fruit Loops was all that was. A gimmick on Fruit Loops.
Yeah, and to outdo Boo Berry and
Count Chocula. Frankenberry.
Yeah, Count Chocula. Frankenberry, that's Franken what it is.
Chocula?
What did I say? Franken Chocula, you know, when they fuse together.
Yeah, speaking of Gotenks. So, you want to give us a recap of what we missed? We should have really missed. We kind of caught up on
I kind of forgot what happened because it's been
a week.
Well, like 2 weeks since we recorded. Yeah, a week or so. a week and a half since we did our last one.
You've been busy, though.
The last batch of episodes was kind of boring because it was all, we should have a tournament because Ciampa and Beerus can't fight. And they're like, we should get five people to fight. And they're like, let's go find five people to fight. They're like, we have five people to fight. All right, now we're ready to go fight with the five people that we got to fight. All right, now we're going to fight. And now they fight.
And finally get some action instead of more and more dialogue.
I mean, we do get plenty of dialogue.
Oh, yeah, that's all. That's just
don't lead our audience astray. We get plenty of dialogue.
But quite some dialogue.
A bit of fighting, yes.
Well, yeah, no, we get, yeah, you get some of that, but quite a bit of dialogue got prevented, and we'll get to that in a little bit. So we open with Mr. Popo and Dende playing tennis while the Saiyans are training in Hyperbolic Time Chamber, where else, where it's admitted by, well, Goku says, didn't you say that Saiyans maintain youth until age 80? Because it's always a concern. They're going in the time chamber so much. How old are they really? Like, they're gone for a day, but that's, what, a year?
A year in there.
Yeah, so they've done it so much. Yet they still look...
Yeah, they've spent a lot of time in there.
I'm curious, like, an older Chi-Chi. We haven't really seen that yet. But they come out with, like, full beards, which is the first time I think we've ever seen a Saiyan with facial hair.
Oh, no, we've seen Vegeta's dad. He had a beard.
Oh, true, but I'm saying these two Saiyans.
Oh, these two, yeah. But we have seen other Saiyans with beards.
Yes, we have. King Vegeta, who ruled Planet Vegeta.
And apparently conquering is a foreign concept to the sixth. Wait, are they the sixth or the seventh?
I've got it so flip-floppy in my notes even, I can't keep track. I believe we are the seventh, or the Z Fighters are the seventh.
Okay, so then the Saiyans from the sixth universe, or Ciampa's universe, don't understand what they understand what conquest is, but they don't do it.
Yeah, they do it for, like, they're Robin Hood, more or less, instead of Sheriff of Rottingham or whatever the crap it was.
I think it's Nottingham. Yeah,
yeah.
Point.
Well, it depends which movie were you watching, Robin Hood or Men in Tights?
Well, there's a lot of Robin Hoods. There's the Russell Crowe one. There's the Clive Owen one. There's the Men in Tights one. There's the Disney one with the fox that the internet loves to want to fuck. There's, like, the black and white one. There's the Kevin Costner one.
Everybody wants to fuck the fox Maid Marian over, like, any other Maid Marian, except for the one from Men in Tights. Because something about a redhead.
Yeah, what's the Kevin Costner? What's that one?
Couldn't tell you, never seen it. It was just...
Oh, it's that one's Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Oh, and yeah. Then okay, there's the Robin Hood with Jamie Foxx as Friar Tuck.
Oh my God.
Haven't you heard about that one? It was made in 2018. It was not even like 3 years ago. It cost $100 million.
Okay, where's that available at?
Oh, and I was mistaken. Clive Owen was King Arthur, not Robin Hood. Don't at me.
Don't
people.
Get it twisted. Don't hate us in
yeah,
the comments.
I got it twisted, yeah. So Taron Egerton, the lead from the Kingsman movies, played Robin Hood. Jamie Foxx played Little John, and Ben Mendelsohn played the Sheriff of Nottingham. It cost $100 million and only made about 86 and a half. So it lost a lot of money.
Oh, great profit. Great, great profit on that one. He went from, wait, was that was well after Django, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like 6 years after Django.
Okay. I was listening to him on Rogan. He's a super, anyway, that's a whole nother thing.
He's a super what?
He's a super talented guy. He can literally do anything. But he's like, people who are growing up these days in this century don't know, like, they know me from acting. They don't know me from comedy. They know I do some comedy, but they don't know my stand-up and how I got started and stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, true.
Wait, is he a comedian?
Huh?
Jamie Foxx is a comedian?
Yeah, he did. That's how he got started before acting. He was doing stand-up and stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, see? Yeah. Learned something.
I know him from his hip-hop albums that he released.
Yeah, see? Again, another branch of being multi-talented.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? Leonard Nimoy was like a musician that made a bunch of stuff, but he was never known for that outside of Star Trek.
Same thing with Steven Seagal. Just actor and communist, not so much known for being a musician.
Yeah, but... Leonard Nimoy was a talented musician, not Steven Seagal.
Well, Steven Seagal is a great guitar player and he's a good blues singer, but stick to the music more when you're older. I don't care what you're doing.
I mean, he's a garbage person. If I can't think of a worse person than Steven Seagal.
Chrissy Teigen?
Yeah, well, she didn't literally have a sex slave like he did.
This is true, but I haven't heard Steven Seagal outside of a script tell people in real life, like, say... you should kill yourself. And it's like a 13-year-old girl.
Oh, that's right. Chrissy Teigen did do that.
There's no coming back from that. No matter how much cum you swallow from all your higher-up executive types. Epstein's gone. So those days are over.
R.I.P.? Did you just R.I.P. Jeffrey Epstein?
I did not R.I.P. I mean, I'm just saying he's gone. I didn't give him the old
okay.
Rest in power. I was like, fucking... Hell no. Like, fuck you, dude. You got a little St. James Island? Is that what he called his dick or the plane that took him there?
I mean, he called his plane the Lolita Express.
It's amazing you know that. The less I know about that stuff is probably the better. The little trinkets I get here and there is good.
Well, and I'm not a detective, but Bill Clinton was on his aircraft more than 24 times. I don't want to know.
Yeah, exactly. How many times was Hillary on it? Probably just as many.
I don't know that she was on it as often. I know that there was like something in the news about Bill and Epstein working explicitly on Clinton Foundation stuff, air quotes, together. And so he and Hillary both run the Clinton Foundation, but I don't know. I haven't read anything explicitly about whether or not she was ever on the plane. She could have been.
Well, here's the other thing is, You can check Epstein's plane logs, but he's dealing with multi-billionaires, multi-millionaires, have their own fucking jet. Britney Spears could have been there. She's got her own fucking jet, at last I heard, some point. Well, that was when she was still relevant, pre-bald days. So anyway, we find all the Z Fighters in a hexahedron. I forget how to say that. It's like much like...
Oh, the thing, yeah.
Yeah, hexahedron, some shit like that. They get into it, it's like jello, the way they get into it, and it's a big...
Oh, is that... The hexahedron is the transportation thing, right? That takes them...
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you were skipping ahead to the... And there's a lot of fart jokes in these episodes. Ooh, boy.
There's a lot of good childish jokes in this one, in these ones. Jocko shows up with an octopus galactic king, and who's, like, you got... Beerus there, everyone's big there, and Goku's just hanging out, and he's like, why is he not finding out a big deal? And it's like, oh, Beerus is here. Okay, yeah, never mind if he's cool with him. Never mind respect for me. Yep, Goku and Vegeta show up at the last minute with beards. Here's starting with the adult jokes. Krillin shows up late because he was, as Goku said, or asked, were you summoning the dragon? So that was kind of open-ended, like, he was just pulling up his pants and his shirt was on really weird. So was it self-inflicted or was Android 18 around? Or I don't even know if it was consensual at that point, no matter what it was.
Is he trying to hide the Earth Dragon Balls in his pants?
That might have been it.
Yeah, they talked about sneaking them along so that they could wish away Beerus's wish or something, right?
Oh, yeah, true.
I wish that it was what you thought, but I think it might just be a boring plot thing. Like,
I would have to go back. There is something that I'm going to have to, we'll get to, but I actually did go back a couple of times to make sure I heard what I heard, because it's hidden in a lot of gibberish, much like Disney loves to do. So, like you mentioned, Boo farts in the hexahedron, which is, you can walk through it like jello, but it's kind of a one-way seal, some freaking godly how. Boo farts in there. Satan completely falls flat with comedy. Everyone's laughing like, oh, or what was it? Goten or Trunks is like, you can't open a window in space. And everyone's giggling like, yeah, nice little joke. And then Satan says something like that. Something stupid. Completely falls flat. And he's the only one laughing. Like,
he says, Boo, you got it. Boo, you sure did rip ass.
So once everyone's back on the Beerus planet, the Saiyans are introduced to Menaka. He's the strongest mortal that Beerus knows, right? Allegedly.
Supposedly.
I love throwing that one around these days. And he stands about maybe 4'1", probably weighs, 40 pounds, maybe?
Yeah.
But his name...
Something about nipples, strength.
Menaka, in his native language, or back on his native planet, Menaka means nipple. And he was named that because since birth, he has large, shapely nipples. Which he, yes, obviously he does. And Goku being Goku is like, well, I really want to see how strong this guy is. So he's like, do you want to spar real quick? Whatever. Everyone's like, come on, man. Seriously? So as they're starting to walk away, Goku sucker punches Menaka right in the face. Just to see how fast he would react. Dude, you just sucker punched a person in the face regardless of what they're doing. That's a quick way to piss off Beerus. So Chi-Chi back in the hexahedron, whatever it is. As they're traveling to this nameless planet, Chi-Chi packed a grill for the trip.
Yeah.
Which, that's typical Saiyan white
space
form,
picnic,
isn't it?
That she said something about a space picnic. Space barbecue.
Space barbecue.
And then Goku mentions that he has an issue digesting it in his first fight later by stretching and being like, I ate too much barbecue. Oh, no. And they had been in the hyperbolic time chamber for... all the time, yeah.
That's right. That's the first real meal that they've had in what passed for them 3 years.
I mean, they could have eaten Dende. I'm sure that he...
But Dende was out playing tennis with Mr. Popo.
Is that what they were doing?
Yeah, it's only shown for like 10 seconds as like a drone fade-in shot into the time chamber or whatever. Nice little B-roll.
Oh, okay.
So we find everyone approaching the Super Dragon Balls, which are planet-sized, and it was just a really bad, really flat offhand joke about how Goku tries to make an offhand joke about how big and how super these Dragon Balls are. I mean, yeah, they are huge. It's like, what's the bigger planet we have? Saturn?
I think so.
Or Jupiter?
Jupiter? Is it the one with the rings or the one without? Because the one with the rings is Saturn.
I couldn't even tell you what Jupiter looks like. I thought Jupiter had rings. I don't know. I haven't messed with that stuff since, like, elementary school.
Yeah, Jupiter's the big one. Saturn's the one with the rings.
Okay. So everybody arrives on the nameless planet. They see this arena that's been constructed. And the entire Beerus, I guess we'll call them Beerus team, complains about having to sit on stone seats. So Whis, being the ever so loving person that he is, cleans up after his sister, or I should say upgrades behind her.
Okay, here's something I didn't get. He said my older sister. So they're twins. Are they? Aren't they twins?
Yeah, they're twins.
So she's older than him.
You can't be born at the exact same time.
Oh, I know, but if they were...
I mean, even if it's a C-section, one's got to get pulled out first.
I know, but who is their parent that was pregnant with both of them? Like, is there like a non-destroyer god parent that looks like both of them that gave birth to them?
Actually, I don't know so much about like a creator god, but we will see a very closer to episode 100 where you're gonna see like the grand final, like, this is the tippy tip of everything kind of god. But like I said, we got quite a ways to go till we get there.
So like the John Goodman of gods.
I wouldn't say quite John Goodman. It'd be more like the dude, if we're going to stick with the John Goodman kind of reference.
Oh, no, I just mean John Goodman's an incredible actor.
He is, and it sucks that he's on such a shit show.
Oh, the Conners?
Show. Yeah, you're brought back to be on a show that's going to ultimately try and be political and fail because of it. And, oh, big surprise.
Well, here's what gets me is that didn't his character die in the original Roseanne?
Like
he died,
yeah,
off screen from a heart attack or some shit like that. And then
because it was the closing episode was like Roseanne writing in a journal or writing a movie. And she's like, this is how it actually happened. We didn't win the lottery. Dan actually died. Now it's just me and the kids and we try and do the best we can. But I don't understand why it was covered in the first episode of the comic.
Oh, it was
like it's some like, what do you call that? Not parallel. Alternate or some shit like that. Yeah, parallel universe or whatever it is.
Yeah, because then when Roseanne got canceled after, it got canceled. Well, that is not how Roseanne's character was written off, with an opioid death, right? So an opioid overdose. I'm like, wow, they really like to write off characters off screen.
And in such ways that they think still appeal. Well, it is true if you're in like Vermont, a lot of opioid overdoses and stuff like that.
And here.
Is it really?
Yeah, here. Like it's like former industrial places, like Ohio's big, West Virginia, Kentucky.
Well, there ain't much to do in West Virginia unless
Pennsylvania.
Unless you're super into the outdoors or something like that. Which if you are, then you're back there making moonshine and probably cooking meth. Which, yeah, everything leads to bad drugs.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Everything.
Well, not everything that is fun, but I mean, hey, whatever.
What, meth in the woods? I mean, the woods is fine.
Yeah, sure.
As long as it's not in something you have to inject in your body, it's okay, try it.
I only go as hard as weed and some club drugs, maybe.
Yeah. Little bit of, hanging with your friend Andrea, something like that. Medea.
And then there's my friend Molly.
Oh, I said Medea like a stretched out.
Oh, no, that's
MDMA.
My favorite Tyler Perry
movie, that'd be a good
Medea.
One. You know, I would almost shit myself if I woke up in the morning to, Heather, like, get the fuck out of here. Shit's going to get real. This bitch just showed up.
So Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah, back on the nameless planet, we are first introduced to Ciampa's team. And we'll get into the descriptions a little. Well, actually, go ahead. Describe some of those
fighters.
Well,
there's somehow fatter than Winnie the Pooh.
Looks like a giant freaking yellow Winnie the Pooh gummy bear. Didn't he? Like Snorlax Winnie the Pooh. There's a better compilation. Snorlax, Winnie the Pooh. We got a Saiyan who's
Goten, like, and Trunks' size.
Well, he's young and he's short. Yeah, about that, if not a little bit taller, but he has no tail. Actually, this is the first one that they're all introduced to because he's the first one who comes out out of the crowd of the other fighters and introduces himself instead of staying like, oh, we're, you know, badasses or whatever in the back with the other team. I forget his name, but Vegeta points out that he's in attire that Saiyans traditionally wore before
they were conquered by Frieza. Yeah.
Yes.
And then he mentions, oh, and then we conquered another planet. And then he said, you conquered another planet. Oh, no. We don't conquer things.
Thus, we enter all the fighters taking a written test.
Which was the only way that they could write Boo out of having to fight, because he probably would have been able to destroy most of the opposing competitors.
If he couldn't get a ring out or a knockout, well, he'd still get a snack out of it. Which, no, actually, what is against the rules, because you couldn't kill anybody. It was just like a straight up fighting tournament. So the tournament, this is a good one. Good little snippet. The tournament of destroyers begins with the universal anthem.
Oh, which is the best anthem. I wish that all anthems could be this short. What is it? There are two and they are great. Something like that.
Just like a little bit of instrumental. And it's a purple penguin who looks like a freaking knockoff Teletubby. This is the whole thing. Okay, you ready? It's a big universe for show. That's it. That's all it was. By the little purple penguin, which is actually.
Oh, I thought there was something about, and there are two of them, something like that. Or did I hear that wrong?
It may have been. The last part was so trailed off and so deep, it's kind of hard to understand. But as far as I understood it, that's what it is. It's a big universe for sure. So the big bear guy's name is Patello. So kind of like potato and not marshmallow. God, there's a kind of mushroom.
Also, why do they have Patella. A written test? I don't get it.
No, because that was Vegeta's little two cents on the requirements to be in it, because he wanted to make sure that the people were worthy and competent enough to be there. If they couldn't pass a simple written test, they shouldn't even be there.
Oh.
Because a true warrior is not only just strong, but also smart, or some cliche War and Peace kind of stuff.
Yeah, so Beerus, in a clearly transparent ploy to, because Menaka's basically meant to be not strong, to like trick Goku into thinking that there's someone stronger than he is, right?
He's a mind fuck is all it is. Menaka's like the equivalent of a sixth grader, the sixth grade nerd who only played D&D at lunch by himself. That's what Menaka is, but actually quite a bit worse than that. We'll come to find out. So the first match is between Patello, the big freaking steroided up gummy Pooh Bear, and Goku. Of course, Goku's going first. So that brings us into episode 33 now.
And Batamo tries to use his girth to slam down on Goku. And no, it's not as hot or sexy as I made it sound. It's literally just him, like, trying to smash Goku with his, you know, girth.
He's belly flopping on him, literally.
Yeah. And then whenever Goku tries to punch him, it just kind of like, what is it? Jocko was saying, he's redirecting the energy to another dimension, which reminded me of when Beerus and Goku were fighting when he was at Super Saiyan God level. And they're like, the universe can't take this level of strife. And then he's like, don't worry, I moved it to another part of the universe or another dimension. I'm like, is that what they're trying to go for? But then they made it sound like he didn't know what he was talking about.
They're really stretching this whole intergalactic, interdimension thing. And I think that's kind of where it all trailed off. I mean, it's not even worth getting into because it's garbage all the times that I've seen it. Dragon Ball GT is kind of a futuristic spin-off in another dimension.
That we don't talk about.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's
absolutely
horrible.
What's Dragon Ball GT?
Yeah, is that a Mustang a version that's orange and black?
With flames on the side? Because of course it would be.
So the one thing that comes out of fighting this giant jelly bear is Goku's actually impressed, and so was I, by his speed. He's huge, but you didn't expect him to actually be agile too. Like we said, he's out there belly flopping on Goku, so he's got some speed. He's a competitor, or he's a contender.
Yeah, but then Goku says, Kakarot, use your head. And taking it very literally, Goku starts headbutting against Batamo with his head,
and that was just straight into his gut, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Doing absolutely nothing.
And then he actually started to actually use his brain rather than just headbutting him to like flip Batamo over, and he just decided to do a ring out of him by tossing him out of the ring, which succeeds. Goku wins.
You can't overlook that this guy's like signature attack was basically it as Vegeta pointed out, energized loogies. All he did was just basically keep spitting on Goku over and over. I felt like I was playing Super Nintendo in circa 1994-95 era, like Battletoads or Double Dragon kind of stuff.
Or Pokemon Snap.
Dude, you're like, that. This is 16 gigabyte display or resolution, and that was 64. So that came a little bit later. Or are you talking about how it just made a comeback?
Oh, is Pokemon Snap back?
Yes, it is. If it's not,
I did not know that.
If it's not out right now, it is coming out. I have seen posters and propaganda at Walmart. So sadly, it's coming
back. Yeah, it looks like it just came out. Yeah, new Pokemon Snap for the Nintendo Switch came out April 30th, 2021.
Oh my God.
The first one came out in March of 99.
Yeah. That was that. What? The N64 came out in like 96? Something like that?
Yes, 96.
Wow, I hit that one on the head. Old school gaming when you had to keep like $200 of your paper out money handy at all times because you never knew what was going to come out next. The Sega Genesis 16, the 32, then N64 came out. It was hotter than the freaking iPhone. Not the Genesis, though. That's dead.
It's very dead.
So Ciampa puts up whining fit about how Goku's cheating because he didn't know he was in a training outfit when they first
met. Saw them.
And he's like, dude, that why didn't you ask, like, or do any kind of investigation if you thought this? And it just starts that sibling dispute and it goes on and on. So now with Pooh Bear gone, Goku advances to the next fighter, which is Frost, the 6th universe's 7th universe, whichever, 50-50 chance on that. It's their version of Frieza. And in this version, he's pretty saintly. He's taken war-torn planets and made absolute peace out of them. He donates to charity.
He has orphans that he says that he's fighting for. He's like the antithesis to Frieza. And his deal with Trompa is actually that if he wins the tournament, he's going to team up with Trompa to make new worlds for the orphans, something like that.
Yeah, so would use one of the wishes or some such nonsense.
Yeah.
That all comes to fruition a little bit later. So we got a new Frieza, and here again, we get it something completely out of the ordinary where Frost makes a speech about how it's an honor, win or lose, to be considered for this kind of tournament, and it's like real heartfelt Disney monologue for a quick second, and then he just wraps his ankles around Goku's face and spins him around like a croc. One of the best opening moves in the entire Dragon Ball franchise I've ever seen. Here's, like I said earlier, where I was referencing the dialogue in the intro. Being that this is Frieza, or a version of Frieza, and we just got through not too long ago covering a Frieza comeback, Goku just says, hey, knock the horse shit off. Let's cut to the chase, skip to your final form, and get on with the fight and not so much blabbing. So thank you, Goku, for finally realizing Frieza's going to be 4 or 5 episodes of talking.
It only takes having to fight Frieza twice for him to finally know that.
It just, twice is too much. Once he starts talking, just sucker punch him. The bastard would do it to you in a heartbeat. You start going off on a hero monologue, he's just going to come out and nut check you. For no fucking reason other than shut you up.
And so the highest form, he's like, okay, I'll go into my final form. And it's like the third transformation, like the long hoagie penis head or whatever.
Chase form is apparent.
Yeah, chase form is
apparently what this is called.
Only because the referee decides to give trivia in between giving like rulings of fairness and disqualification.
Didn't the referee also, oh no, I think that's a little bit later, but the referee does at some point go into the background in monologue how this is like the ultimate kind-hearted person and is a saint in this universe or whatever.
I think so.
So Goku persists on Frost changing to the final form. So he's like, here, I'll help you out. And he goes to Super Saiyan. So how are you going to get Frost to go into his final form when you're not doing it? I mean, I get it. That's like way lopsided fight there, but at least go Super Saiyan 2. Like kind of show, hey, here we go. Here's what I got. What do you really got? Quit dicking around.
Yeah. And Frost says, oh, I've only ever gone into my final form once. And he like alludes that he killed the last person that he fought with that. But he's like, all right, I guess I'll go into my final form. And he does. And he and Goku start fighting. Goku clearly has the upper hand. And then when Goku realizes that he's like way more powerful than Frost, and he says, all right, I respect you too much to keep fighting and landing as many blows as I do. Frost gives it one last go, and Goku, being Goku, lets it land on him. He starts to, like, feel all drowsy and gets all that.
All it was just a quick grazing on his palm. Like, Goku had his hand out, like, displaced or absorbed the blow, block it, and it was just a graze across his palm. Or it looked like a graze on his palm.
Right, and so then Goku falls down. Frost hits him and throws him out of the ring. And Frost is declared the winner by
ring out.
Goku being thrown out of the ring. Yeah, which is kind of a surprise. But then we learn later why that happened. Yeah, and Piccolo sort of hypothesizes. He's like,
I guess Goku let too many blows get landed on him, and it made him have a concussion or some shit.
That's my Piccolo.
Great Piccolo. It's like a hybrid of Mr. Satan in there.
It's like Piccolo is actually here.
It is. It's like, man, feel your presence. You're over my left shoulder.
Gohan. No, that's just you have plan. To stick with it.
So the funny thing is about that round-ending intoxicating blow is what Frost says right before it. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, says, I'm going to have to live up to what I always tell my orphans, because he's like got shaky legs. He admitted his final form, he's only used it once because it's so unstable, he can't maintain it for long. He's about done. So to say, I'm going to do what I always tell my orphans to do and never give up, kind of gets a little fucked up as we get a little further down here. So we kind of end that episode with, like you said, Goku getting a ring out and it's not looking too good. So episode 34, Piccolo's turn.
Yeah, and I was excited. I was like, yay, we finally get to see Piccolo fight. And before Piccolo enters the ring, Goku tells him, he's like, hey, you don't really have any chance. Just soften him up and then Vegeta can take him out.
And he's like, is that all I'm good for? He's like, do you expect, or what was it? He asked Goku, what do you think my chances are? And he's like, honestly, I don't know, but not good. Oh, you can always soften him up for Vegeta. Well, what's going to happen? Oh, well, is that all I'm really good for? Which, of course, yes, Piccolo, that's since the Saiyan saga, I guess. Yeah, that was the first one in Dragon Ball Z. Since then, he really has only been good for one thing. Just like,
I mean, he was good for part of the Frieza saga when he fused with Nail to take on the second transformation of Frieza.
And take on, or didn't he reabsorb Kame too?
I think so, yeah. It was Kame and then Nail on the planet Namek. Yep. And then he sort of held his own against the second transformation, against the first, past the base form, the first transformation where it's the big bulky guy with the horns. And then once he got to the chase form, the penis hoagie length one, he was outmatched.
Kind of gave up a little bit after getting his ass handed to him. But as a good, you can't forget this either. As a good sport, Frost raised up Goku from the ground and everyone cheered. Like, this guy's really putting on a show, isn't he?
Yup.
There is no way in any universe, in any dimension, a person of Frieza's species or race, whatever it's called, is that fucking good. That's like saying there's a universe where Richie Ramirez is the Pope. I don't fucking think so. Or Jeffrey Dahmer is a 5-star Michelin chef. Don't think so.
Oh, no, he is. Oh, well, he always was.
He was a culinary expert. You know, I don't shame for what he did. I mean, that's up to society to judge. But I'm kind of curious after saying that. I want to know what it tastes like.
Oh, yeah. So Piccolo's entire strategy against Frost is to use special beam cannon. So he basically gets into the ring, takes a blow in the knee, like from one of the laser beam blasts, like that Frieza is able to do. And he takes one to like the leg, and he's sort of like, oh, that hurt. And then he starts to charge special beam cannon.
And Frost kind of picks up pretty early how, okay, so he needs his one hand in this position to charge this attack. All I got to do is distract that one hand. But Piccolo...
Yeah, so Piccolo manages to block most of the incoming fist punches, but ultimately Frost, like, lands a blow. He's like, oh, no! And then Frost thinks that he got rid of the special beam cannon, and then Piccolo just uses his...
Duplication technique.
Yeah, after the duplication technique, he uses the gummy worm arm or whatever to, like, wrap around
He shows how flexible of a fighter he is in any
situation.
He's
Mr. Fantastic, basically.
Yeah, he coils him up and just like a boa constrictor, and he's like, I got this.
Special beam cannon again.
Because he never, ever let it go. It was just all in my... Actually, that isn't that right where he explains that I did take that hit on purpose just to throw you off guard, give you false confidence?
Yes, he does, but Frost manages to get out of the constriction of Piccolo's arm. Is that where he...
This is after we notice, or kind of does a cut over to Vegeta, and he's like, there's no way any kind of small hit like that could take Kakarot out. There has to be something else going on, and just at that same time, Jocko comes over to the fighter's bench and kind of sits down next to Vegeta, but he's not looking at him. And Vegeta's like, what are you doing over here? He's like, oh, I just wanted to sit here because it has a better view. And he's like really intently staring down at Frost. And this is where that came into play, where Jocko notices while Frost is coiled up that, well, he starts digging into his like right hip or something like that. And it's like, okay, what are you going for there? You're a naked being.
Yeah, and that's where Frost manages to like get free of the constriction, divert Piccolo's special beam cannon up through the barrier that is fixed by Champa, Whis, Vados?
Vados,
that's it.
Vados.
And that's fixed. And then Frost blows a hole through Piccolo after he starts to get the wobbly double vision.
Yeah, he gets all intoxicated.
Yeah, and that's where... And then the referee checks his pulse. He's like, he's alive, but
barely.
Frost wins. Hooray. And then
Jocko objects, pointing out that Frost is cheating with a weapon on his right arm and insists on a frisk search, which Ciampa's like, no way, blah, blah, blah. You're making this up. Anything to
win.
Yeah,
and Jocko's like, I have the best vision and the insight. Oh, and also we forgot that we meet the Galactic King. Who could not be less important?
Oh, no. I mentioned that as passing. You know, just as him showing up was passing to Goku. Like, the octopus dude just chilling. He's got, like, four lines in this whole
tournament. Yeah, the Galactic King.
That how many ranks of man... See, this reminds me of work. And I'm not going to say where I work. But it's a golf and ski resort. So it's thousands of acres. And we have 40 managers, and three of them all do the same thing, but three different locations, and they don't even talk to each other. So imagine that times 10 of miscommunications and shit just on sheer size of this place. Nothing really gets done. Just for a simple order, you can't type it in and order it yourself. It goes through like 50 people.
It sounds insane. Like a logistical nightmare.
Just like planning this tournament
must have been.
It only took 15 seconds for Vados to create the damn thing. And with the stone seats. Oh, that's why. Because of the stone seats. She gets a slip on that. So the referee frisks Frost, finding a spike. Where was that? The top of his... It wasn't the Peter Parker spider web thing. It was on the back of his wrist.
Yeah, it was on the outside. Like.
So the opposite of Spider-Man.
And he said, don't worry. It's part of my body. Which had been part of the defense of Goku and... What was the fat Pooh Bear? The Batamo. The spit thing is that it's not a ranged attack if it comes from the person's body.
But where did he get that from? If Frieza didn't have anything close to it. That's what kind of threw me off. Or Frieza did and never used it. Probably because that's just beneath him. Or maybe that's in the female species or something like that. How the animal kingdom's all weird with genders.
Yeah, and bacteria and stuff. Mitosis,
yeah,
whatever.
You know, yeah, photosynthesis is a great strain.
You know that strain, photosynthesis.
And here we find that all is revealed by Vados, and the true nature is pretty much the Frieza species or race. It's their way.
Right after we find out that Ciampa says, all right, you can inspect him, but I'm going to destroy you if you're wrong. And Chaco's like, And Beerus is like, oh, never mind. You can destroy him.
Yeah, he means nothing to this tournament. So, all is revealed by Vados, who goes on to say, oh, well, yeah, this isn't exactly unexpected. Because he basically is running a war monopoly where he'll send pirates out to ravage a planet, basically doing the Trump, but intergalactically. hey, I'll send out some thugs, do some bullshit, drop the property value, come in, look at like the hero, buy it up cheap, and then keep going and going. I'm going to start wars just to end them and then look like the hero. And that pretty much concludes that episode.
Oh, I love...
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, we have to mention that Piccolo heals himself, gets reinstated as the winner, and Vegeta says, hold on, I want to fight Frost. I don't want him to just get off by, like, to lose by disqualification. And the referee says, but Piccolo's the winner. He's going to fight in the next one. He's like, no, Piccolo's going to forfeit. And Piccolo just looks at him and just says, yeah, I guess I forfeit.
Yeah, because it's basically, or stay alive now or die in a few minutes. Because Piccolo is the stronger version of Yamcha. He's going to die. Just in a weird position. Over and over.
I think he's more powerful than Yamcha.
He's definitely more powerful than Yamcha. By far.
I mean, he's on par with Gohan. Like
that. Yeah, that is true. When he gets he unlocks his like true Namekian form or something like that, whatever that's called.
I mean, yeah. Remember how strong he was in Dragon Ball, like when he was King Piccolo before he became a kid.
And that's just him fused that's him fused back with Kame too.
Mm-hmm.
He's that powerful because Piccolo himself. No. Actually, you're talking back in Dragon Ball. That was.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was Demon King Piccolo. Okay. And he split off and made Kame. So Piccolo or Demon King Piccolo was 100% evil. Kame was 100% good. Something happened and Demon King Piccolo died, but he managed to.
Yeah. And then there was
replicate.
An egg with. Yeah.
So basically it's Piccolo Jr. Or not Demon King Piccolo Jr., just Piccolo for short. So Vegeta skips their dramatics and goes Super Saiyan immediately. And in a single thank you so much blow, eliminates Frost with a ring out. All that
yeah,
same
after
rage.
He says, you can keep your stupid like poison or whatever. He can use whatever weapons he wants. I'll still defeat him.
And didn't they up the stakes for just that match where death was allowed?
Mm-hmm.
And he damn near killed him. He really did.
Yep. And so he gets knocked out. Vegeta wins. But then is it the next episode that Frost goes and tries to take the treasure and then gets killed by Assassin Boy?
Yeah, that's in about 2 or 3 more lines.
Oh, okay.
So at this point, Beerus discovers a needle mark on Goku's palm where he got grazed at. So that puts...
By Frost.
Yes, by Frost. And that puts Goku back in the fight. And if you've been paying attention throughout the whole like tournament, you still don't get a single blink or movement out of Menaka. From big nipple boy just sitting there staring off into space, 1,000.5 times yards freaking stare. Off into nothing. I just pointing that out for you. So even hearing that, actually it's revealed right there because we spills the beans about Menaka being unconscious.
And Beerus is like, no, he's not. He's concentrating. Don't ruin this for me, Whis.
Poorly.
I order you to not tell me.
Poorly trying to cover it up. Absolutely poor job.
And so Goku's like, hey, Menaka, are you excited to fight or something like that? And he's like, no, don't wake him up. He wants destroyed a planet just because of a like an ill-timed tap on the shoulder.
Yeah, Beerus just goes way out of his way. Like, he's going even beyond powers of himself at that point. So we get a rule change as we see, or as we prep for Vegeta going into the next round with...
Magetta.
So the rule change is, it's going from a dome enclosure to a cubed enclosure.
And if you touch the barrier, then you lose.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the end of the ring.
Why such a big change? Why, like, especially going, why the shape change? I mean, I know why. We know why now, but it's just...
Because plot reasons?
Well, yeah, because it was in the script. You're right. It was in the storyboard.
They're like, well, why is this? And they're like, because we put it there.
And that's when we see Frost sneaking off the tournament ground to, like, the vast treasure that's waiting out there, like, just outside, middle of nowhere. It was promised to the winner by Ciampa. Enter purple alien penis head fucking quiet guy who looks like he's been napping the whole time. It turns out this guy's name is Hit, and he's a legendary assassin. He's never missed a mark, and nobody can figure out why. Without a single move, this guy kills Frost for trying to steal from him because he's already declared himself the winner.
Yeah,
he
it's
knows.
Like five beams of energy spouting out of Frost's body at the same time, and he's like, "What? You didn't even move." Blech,
he died of horrible indigestion, or was it out like explosive diarrhea? I think it was.
Well, it was from the barbecue that Chi-Chi made.
He got the leftovers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that was nice of Chi-Chi.
Yeah. Well, and we also get another fart joke from Magetta, because why not?
Yeah. Good old chicka-chicka-choot-choot. I want to be the guy who does voiceovers for shit like that. Like, all right, my lines are chicka-chicka. Okay. Take one. Chicka-chicka. Okay, can you put more sadness into it? Chicka chicka, not quite pussification sadness. Like, I want to just see the outtakes from that shit. Doing 50 takes of saying these stupid ass lines. Supreme Kai, or and what you got? Supreme Kai, Grand Elder.
Oh yeah,
Kai.
That's right. Because they use the Namekian Dragon Balls to unfuse with each other.
Yeah, I forget that big guy's name. The big red guy that was he was fused. So a Supreme Guy, he's a Supreme Guy, yeah, he is. He gets informed that Kibito? I thought
Kibito, yeah, that's it. K-I-B-O-T-O.
Gotcha. He gets informed that this giant robot, because it really is a giant, like, lava-gutted, empowered robot, is indeed a living organism that the Sixth Universe probably has if they bothered to look, which was only heard of once. In that guy's lifetime. And he's like, they all look to him and he's like, I think I remember it happening, but I never bothered to check out. And they're like, oh, that would have been great to have now. So it's quickly realized that Magetta relies on strength and not so much agility. So he's basically kind of the shitty version of the giant Pooh Bear again. And
but way better designed.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Well, a much better design. Actually, much better. Well, we'll get into how much better at what he is. Was it Vegeta?
Yeah. He spits lava, and then the ref says, "Oh, well, because it comes from his body, it's not arranged. It's not considered a ranged attack, and therefore it's permissible."
Just like how the bear naturally produced like this energy loogies that's still admissible. So was it?
Yeah. So Magetta's volcanic heat makes it so that the barrier and all of it makes Vegeta sweat a lot, and like the extreme heat starts to like weigh on his like ability to concentrate and move. Oh, it's a lack of oxygen. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's yeah. Here's in. So the cube sense actually makes a lot more, or the cube form actually makes a lot more sense now. Ciampa's being super cheap about the whole thing. Any way he can win. At all, he's squeezing it out there. But here's where it's, like I mentioned earlier, here's where if you listen close, well, not even if you listen close, but if you listen back, I should have put the timestamp for everybody to go back and listen. But it's shortly after Magetta starts, like, bashing in his own head, and it's found out that that's a power-up move, that he actually says, bat shit water. It almost sounds like it. It was so weird.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, I had to go back and actually listen to it two or three times. I'm like, batshit water. Because it's all chicka chicka toot 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 bullshit. And this guy spits that out like, okay, I heard English there. So Bulma gets pissy and goes to strangle Jocko, who grabs Oolong the pig. And Bulma starts strangling him.
When did Oolong get
Why?
There? I had not noticed him at
Why
all.
Why was Oolong there? I mean, I saw him eating and stuff, but where's Yamcha? Where's Tien? Where's Chaozu at that point?
Well, Yamcha's dead. We know where he is.
Well, actually, they're all off doing their own thing, and they're, you know, what do you call it? Schizophrenic hookups, too. Good. That's a shot at you, Tien. So Vegeta comes inches from touching the ring barrier, and it's immediately recognized his next move by, I think it was Krillin. He's kind of literally backed into a corner. So what's he going for? His Gallic gun. That's one that Vegeta does have to power up a lot too. Just like Piccolo. Well, it's faster charging than Piccolo's special beam cannon though.
Didn't he say final something before he blasted
that comes? It? Yeah, the final flash as the finisher. He does bust that one out in a little bit.
He busts a move.
He really does bust a move. Vegeta becomes so enraged from almost getting his ass kicked so quickly that he actually, if you look, it's for about like probably 20 or so frames where he's actually got black eyes. Like, it's kind of a downward shot, so it could have been a shadow, but there was no other shadow anywhere else. He just had black eyes, and it was actually fitting for those.
Was that when he got almost knocked out of the ring?
Shortly after that, yeah.
Because he only is still in the ring on a technicality. Magetta had, like, destroyed a whole bunch of, like, the ring and all those pieces of rubble. Vegeta, to avoid, like, a lava attack, had, like, been pushed out of, like, the ring, but he had landed on the smallest piece of it with, like, 1 foot, the way that, like, because Sam's
it was like
on the
half an inch by half an inch by a quarter of an inch, just, and the ref said, oh, it's a piece of the ring, so technically it's not a ring out.
Technically it's still a ring.
But it hurt, it just absolutely infuriates Vegeta that, oh, it's a technicality that I'm here on, not skill.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you're
which is
die.
Consistent because he didn't want Frost to lose because of a technicality either. Yeah. Because Vegeta's all warrior code and stuff.
Exactly.
He always has been. So he powers up in a way that he couldn't before, and he actually manages to destroy the barrier so that he can go all out without having to worry about the limitations of the lack of oxygen from the heat. And he manages...
Yeah, how...
Well, I guess we'll never know.
How he could survive... I mean, it showed he was sweating pretty bad, and although he did say... It's not the heat that's getting to me. It's something else. I've trained for extreme conditions like this. Like, dude, maybe because you're sitting there doing like really shallow breaths, maybe it's you can't fucking breathe.
Yeah, he powers up to full strength and blasts the shit out of Magetta's lava. Magetta gets sort of like knocked down. And Vegeta... When he, like, goes in close, when he gets Magetta to, like, the corner of the ring, and he's basically locked in a fighting pose with him, and he calls him, like, a pile of junk or something, and that's the moment where Vegeta gets the upper hand and manages to hit Magetta out of the ring and wins the match, because apparently Whis says that the machine people or whatever are very sensitive to hurtful insults. Also, speaking of Whis, we got to talk about the ways that he's continually coded as queer, like where the stone bleacher thing, and he's like, my lord, I always love interior decorating. I was like, could you be more on the nose? Oh, I know. I just love, like, just saying, oh, I love interior decorating and Broadway musicals. Might as well throw that in. And Cher. I love Cher. All the stereotypes. They're just plunging them all in.
Just all the things. We got some Barbra Streisand and some Celine Dion in the corner for you. She's crying, Papa, can you hear me? Over Celine Dion crying. That her heart will go on, still weeping her fucking ugly ass, super skinny, frog-eating, snail-licking French ass. Eat a cheeseburger.
You have a very strong opinion about Celine
Dion.
No,
she's just French. I hate the French. Especially the French-Canadian. You're like two races in one country, and you hate each other. Well, actually, that sounds quite familiar.
I've never seen that happen anywhere else other than there. It's never happened anywhere else, Kevin. I don't know what you're talking about.
The Canadians and the French Canadians, you know, that's their own civil war. It's never happened anywhere else that people hate their own. Asians are not racist at all. I promise you, Asians love Asians. Like, if you go up to a Chinese guy and you say, hey, how's Korea? They love hearing it. Especially, like, the South Koreans getting mistaken for Japanese, and then the Filipinos getting mistaken for Vietnamese. They love it. It'll always get a
or
good
he's
vibe.
Like, oh, I'm sorry, dude. I thought you were from India. It turns out you're from Pakistan. And he's like,
Urgh. When you go to a Japanese or a Thai food restaurant and you say, hey, where the fuck's the fortune cookie? They politely remind you that it is Chinese. Which actually it's not. It came from San Francisco. It was something that was invented here by the Chinese immigrants.
That sounds about right.
But is it American or is it Chinese? Because the Chinese made it, but just to appeal to the Americans.
I'd say it's Chinese American.
Okay. But why the hyphen? Well, no, I can't say that because you never hear, hey, man, I'm a Puerto Rican Mexican. What the fuck? That doesn't make sense. You don't go, hey, I'm an English Spaniard.
Hey, identity, race, and ethnicity is inherently complex.
That's why I identify as a pickle. Prove me wrong. Bring it on, science.
That's why I'm just like, I'm white.
Yep. You're transparent, and at a lot of times, you're red.
Yeah, or pink if I get really nervous.
Or probably drunk.
Or drunk.
Speaking of which.
That happens more than
nervous. This episode brought to you by Beerus. The Beerus Fund, where we accept any kind of donations for any kind of substance.
Beer. Keystone Light. Rolling Rock.
Hams.
Gallo.
Corona. Wait, no. Wait, is it okay now? Oh, yeah, it's summertime.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay,
now.
It's summertime, so it's okay.
No. All the beer got vaccinated.
That's right. That's right. Alcohol in itself is sterile. So when Trump was telling you, hey, man, like drink bleach, he's not only making fun of your lack of intelligence, but he's also saying a good lesson, like sanitize the inside. I was putting sanitizer on the hands. So, you know, you got the alcohol sanitizer on the hands and then down in a fifth a night, you know. Make sure the inside's all nice and clean. That all that did for me was just give
right.
me a gut.
So beer us, sponsor Relative Rewind and send us some beer. And you can beer us and we'll beer you by promoting your wonderful products and services on our show.
We need like a, oh man, we got to find a way. I'm sure we could. I hopefully could.
Beer us now.
We should do a Relative Rewind beer us spinoff where it's just like a live call-in show. Oh, and then I'd have to buy a burner phone. It'd be worth it if we had enough people and enough marketing.
Oh, we should mention the last thing that happens in the episode. Vegeta's like, phew, I won, but barely. And then Kaba, the sixth universe sand kid, is like, all right, it's my turn. And then it's like, next time, Vegeta will fight Kaba. The end.
But did you catch in there? Well, okay, so when Goku went Super Saiyan, Ciampa asked what the hell that
yes.
was. And he's like, I've never heard of it. There's no, you know, there's no stories. There's not. So they don't have a Super Saiyan lore. They don't have nothing.
And they don't have tails either.
Yeah, that was odd enough. Like, how are you saying without it? But then it's also this Frost has a spike that Frieza didn't. Little subtle changes. But if you watch the preview, you will see twin sets of golden hair. This guy goes from not knowing what a Super Saiyan is to apparently fighting as one in the next episode.
Maybe he's just a quick study. Find out next time.
Yeah.
On Dragon Ball Super.
Relative Rewind Podcast.
Brought to you by whatever beer gets to us first.
Insert sponsor here, where the drawers are always down. Wait. Yeah.
Where the drawers are sometimes down and only when we're conscious and consenting.
There's usually a waiver I sign if somebody's like, hey, man, I'm into Cosbying. I'm like, hey, just give me, you know, a waiver. And so I know, so you don't get in trouble later. But you can fully Cosby me.
All right, so.
With that being said.
That's. I don't know where to go from that other than. This has been Relative Rewind.
Hey, I'm Kevin.
I'm Cameron.
And we'll catch you guys
next
time.
And we'll continue the interworld dimension
the battle
tournament
of the destroyers tournament of
time.
Destroyers is what it's called. Okay guys, we'll catch you next time. Be kind, rewind.
All right, have a good one.
Have fun,
enjoy.